Dear brothers and sisters, what would you ask if you were given an opportunity to receive whatever you want and ask? Just one thing. Just one thing, and it will be surely given to you. The King Midas in Greek mythology said, "Change into gold whatever I touch." Then, I think you know this mythology, Midas. So you have heard about the Midas hands. It is from the Greek myth. The King Midas said, "Change into gold whatever I touch." And his heart's desire was fulfilled. Then, whatever he touched literally changed into gold. He was excited at first, but the joy didn't last long. He couldn't eat food nor drink water due to the power to change things into gold. When he touched a cup to drink water, the cup changed into gold. He couldn't drink water. Even people started to avoid him. He even changed his lovely daughter, who came to him to comfort his heart, into gold, which was really miserable. It is a story, but it indicates the endless desire and greed of humans. And the greed can cause you harm. Of course, it is not about casting away greed, but just I'm asking the best desire we can have. Then, what could be the best heart desire you can have? Do you have a disease? I wanna be healed of this disease. Then I will be happy. Or some old people may have many diseases. What do you want to be healed of among them? Of course, it's really good for you to be healthy, and you will be really happy. But if you are healed of your diseases, you may want other things, like you want to be healthy and you want to be happy with your families and you want your families to receive a lot of blessings. There are many things we want. But if you are wise and you are wise people of God, you may have one desire. So you have to have this desire, the best desire. It's a desire to recover the image of God. And above all, we have to have the desire to have the heart of God, the love of God. Then you can have all things. It is a lot more valuable desire than getting much gold. If you achieve this love, it is a blessing for your family, neighbors, and friends, as well as you yourselves. If you truly love God and achieve spiritual love, God will also love you and give you blessings. You shall not want something. So, I hope you will have this desire. That is spiritual love. I want you to have this desire of spiritual love. If you have a spiritual love, you can have all things. Father God will say, "You resemble me because you have such love." Then Father God will want to give you anything because you resemble Him so much. Because He is so pleased with you because you resemble Him. So I hope you will want spiritual love. The power of love is really valuable. Wherever God's love is, the work of life will happen. It's like a warm spring when the frozen ground melts, so the love melts down frozen hearts. In His love, the love of God, seeds of life sprout. our hardened hearts become softened and we can feel happy. Our narrow hearts become broadened in His love. If you are full of spiritual love, the people around you will receive the blessing together. If we have God's love, and if people are full of the spiritual love of God, they can have a heart to share things with others, even if we are also in need. What about your hearts hardened by pains caused by others? You may have been presented the way to forgive them, even 70 times 7. You can forgive them from your heart. You can become like birds that fly in freedom. When you repent that you have not loved others, God sees you as lovely and fills your heart with faith in His love, and He will heal you of your diseases and fulfill your heart's desires. If you want to solve your problems and receive healing, I hope you will achieve the love of God in your heart. Pastors, do you want to receive strength? Do you want to make your district and your parishes revive, experience a reviver? If you have this kind of spiritual love, you can achieve it. And you can open the hearts of people who close their hearts, and workers, leaders. The same applies to you. You may feel really distressed and disheartened when some people leave the church. But if you have spiritual love, you can embrace them. We need those workers who have a spiritual love. You have to have a spiritual love to lead many people to the way of salvation. The number is not a problem. The person, the leaders, and all workers should have spiritual love, even if the number is small. So, tonight, I hope you can have a desire to receive answers, but I hope you will want to become the leaders who have this kind of spiritual love. Tonight, I will talk about a kind of love that covers a multitude of sins. First, let's think about how the worldly people act when they come to know about someone's sin. Even though they did not see his sin themselves and just heard about it, they quickly pass judgment on him. In fact, they should figure out first whether what they heard is true and what made the person commit the sin. But they just condemn him fast. Then they may come to hate and ostracize him. We have had those certain problems these days. But we learned the lesson that we cannot believe anything reported on news. Even though it is not related to us directly, but the news reports, the news and all the media report about many things that are about celebrities. And people easily pass judgment and condemnation on others. And they just make them evil people in their thoughts. They may talk about other people's sin to other people. When we know someone's sin, if we talk about this to other people, and the people, the listeners, will also feel pain. But some people may just want to spread about it. There are so many people like that. They may even threaten the person. I have heard about such a thing in the news reports. They may say they will not tell others about the sin under the condition that he gives or does something for them. They even try to find his sins rather than cover his sins. What does he do? What is he doing? And even some of them may even make up a rumor and spread it. They usually do so if they have someone who they hate, compete with, or feel envious of. They are trying to find others' faults. We may have seen such people in the world. Without love, people might live this way, exchanging pain with each other. Imagine someone talks about your sin, or even though it is not your sin, but they just make up a story and spread it to other people. How sad it is. And even, you know, entertainers and celebrities suffer from such a thing, and they get depression, or they even commit their suicides. You have heard about that. So people might live this way. They exchange pain with each other, but with love, they cannot do this. Even though someone may give harm to you, you just can forgive him. Then you will feel happy and the pain stops. But the worldly people do not live like that. The world is working in this way. But we, the people of heavenly citizens, must not do so. But what about you? Even if we may hate someone, if we spread a false rumor or exaggerate some incidents, it is a sin that God detests. If we had such a heart, God could not give answers to our prayers. So, I hope you will find, repent of, and cast away sins, and receive your heart's desire tonight. Let's then delve into the meaning of love covers a multitude of sins. Sins refers to an action that is reprehensible. Spiritually, when evil in heart is revealed outside, it refers to transgression or sin. The simple nature is not a sin. Simple nature in heart is revealed. It is a sin. For example, it's not a sin when you have just a desire to steal. When you put it into practice and steal something in action, it is a sin. So now, we're gonna talk about three levels to achieve love that covers a multitude of sins. First, when you see someone's sin, you need a heart to send him or her away secretly. It is a beautiful heart to cover sins of others without saying anything. The sin is evident sin. It's obvious. It's not a mistake. It's not about a mistake or something. Of course, we can say someone makes mistake or something, but what we are talking about is a sin, an evident sin. The first step of love that covers a multitude of sins, when you see someone's sin, you need a heart to send him or her away secretly. From under this love, you have no ill feeling against the person. If you have ill feeling or if you pass judgment on him, how could he commit such a sin? And you don't want to hang out or be together with him. Even if you do not spread or talk about his sin, if you just have judgment in your heart, it is not sending him or her away secretly. This heart is a heart which does not have any ill feeling in your heart. The best example is Joseph, who married Virgin Mary. Mary was engaged to him. He heard a shocking news that Mary conceived a baby. He had kept her a virgin because they were not married yet. So it is natural that he thought that the Virgin Mary had committed adultery. So nobody can accuse him, even if he stoned her to death. It seemed like she had an evident sin. But what about Joseph? What did Joseph do? Matthew chapter 1 verse 19 says, "And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her, planned to send her away secretly." Of course, it could be a heart-aching incident for him, but he could not let her die. In the sight of Joseph, it is an evident sin. She conceived a baby, and she was pregnant, and he kept her a virgin. And it's really evident, it's clear fact that she conceived the baby. She had a baby. She was pregnant. To his eyes, he couldn't help thinking that she had committed a sin, but he was a righteous man, so he did not want to disgrace her. Father God deemed him righteous. According to human righteousness, humans may have let her just die because it is according to the law of God. But it is the righteousness of God. Father God viewed him a righteous man. Humans may want to just reveal her sin. She committed adultery. In humans' sight, humans just may have wanted to reveal her, but Joseph had the righteousness in the sight of God. So he did not want to disgrace her and planned to send her away secretly. Matthew chapter 1 verse 20 says, "But when he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit.'" He may have felt miserable, but he became a blessed man. He just wanted to send her away secretly. Actually, he may have felt miserable at first when he did not know about the conception of the Holy Spirit. But he became a blessed man after he knew about the conception of Jesus. So his name could be placed as the father of Jesus in the Jesus Christ genealogy. What would you feel if you were in his situation? Would you try to understand her in her shoes? In most cases, people feel betrayed without giving the other person a chance to give account of the situation. They may even feel more painful, imagining more things. And some couples get divorced because of such things. But in the same situation, some wives or husbands may listen to the counterpart, their spouses, attentively. If then, they can solve their problems. The Bible tells us not to pass judgment and condemnation and not to slander. If you follow the word, you don't have to have any ill feeling or hatred or put enmity with anybody. Colossians chapter 3 verses 13 and 14 says, bearing with one another and forgiving each other, whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. Beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. Of course, someone may give you hard time. Clearly, it's obvious that he gives me a hard time or he commits a sin toward me. But you have to forgive him, because you are forgiven of your sins by God. And senior pastor also talked about this. I hope you will understand it is better for us to victims of false accusation than argue with brothers of faith, reveal each other's sins, and become unrighteous. It's unrighteous to argue with brothers of faith. Rather than arguing with brothers of faith or revealing each other's sins and becoming unrighteous, just it's better for us to victims of false accusation. Of course, In some cases, a person commits a sin, an evident sin, or gives you a problem and gives you harm, but he doesn't want to. Even if you don't have any wrongdoings, and even if you don't do anything wrong to him, but the person just doesn't tell you to forgive him, and he doesn't feel any qualm of conscience. But even though you may be victims of that first accusation, it's better. Senior pastor talked about this. In the sight of God, in the sight of truth, just enduring everything with goodness is better. Even though you become victims of false accusation. And Father God will give you victory. It is the Father God who will work for you in that case. Of course, you may say, how can I live under false accusations? The Bible gives us some examples of some forefathers of faith who were falsely accused but experienced God's work. The forefathers of faith in the Bible, they did not do anything wrong, but they were falsely accused. Joseph, the son of Jacob, was imprisoned because of a false accusation. But he became the second ruler of Egypt by God. And even Daniel could have reported about the evil people's evil schemes to the king, but he didn't. He just committed everything to the will of God. In the end, he was thrown into the lion's den. But God saved him, and even the evil people were thrown into the lion's den and died there. You have thought that Daniel was really good. What would you feel if you had been Daniel's friends or Daniel's family members? They may have seen Daniel growing up until he became the commissioner of the empire. Many people may have seen him growing up And when they saw the problem that Daniel was faced with, what did they feel like? How did they feel? Daniel did not avoid the situation. He just went the way of death. How did the people around him feel? What would you feel? So even though he was thrown into the lion's den, he was saved by God. Rather, the evil people were thrown into the lion's den and died. We have heard about this a lot of times. So we have to apply this to our lives. We must not do something when we are falsely accused. We just commit everything to God. Even though evil people try to give you a hard time, we must commit everything to God. Have you lived this way? Have you kept the word of God? Have you practiced this in your lives? Only when you do this, can you receive blessings and answers. What if you just hate other people, hate evil people because they do evil to you? No, you must not do so. Apostle Paul didn't take advantage of the citizenship of the Roman Empire. When someone hit him, he was hit, and he just committed everything to the justice of God. Then, the glory of God was revealed more greatly. We know and believe that the God is alive, so we can endure everything. It's because we have perfect faith in God, and we have spiritual love for those who do evil to you. Do you have any problem? And do you feel distrust these days? As for me, I took a deep breath. Of course, I sometimes took a deep breath under this kind of situation that we have been going through. But I thought, God is alive. God is on the side of goodness. God is alive and God sees everything. And then I became peaceful and I prayed, Father, I am committing everything to you. Everything is in your hands. And all the pains of Senior Pastor, I will commit those pains to you as well. And then I became peaceful. What about you? You believe God. You trust the senior pastor. But you are in pain? You are in great pain? No, you have to believe God perfectly. What can you do? Do you want to do something? Just pray. Pray more. And then God will say, I'm here for you. And He will give you peace. And it is the strength of the power of faith. The power of faith is really great. Doing goodness and believing God is really powerful. Of course, we can say, we are in this kind of situation and that person gives me a hard time. You may say it like that. Of course, people around you may comfort you. But are you gonna satisfied when you talk about something related to evil people? No. Father God may move your heart and the Holy Spirit will talk to you. No, you must not. You must have love. If you are in pain, it is because of your evil in your heart. Only when you don't have ill feeling, you can send evil people secretly away. It's not about condemning other people and just sending them away. It's not about that. Of course, sometimes you have to send someone away because the person misleads you to the way of evil. Then you have to discern this in this kind of situation. And of course, I will talk about it later. If you evil people guide you to the way of evil together, you have to give advice. Do you have to follow them? Someone may say, my leader, my boss, or my superior do this and tell me to do this, so I have to follow them. Someone may say that, but you must not participate in any evil work. So you have to apply those situations to your lives. God wants us to have a spiritual love. I hope you will not remember the harm that other people have given to you. Please forget about such things. Only when you forget about such things, you can send evil people away, and even though you see their sins, and your hearts will be peaceful. You may feel like you suffer loss at the moment, but when you give thanks in the truth and pray, God, who knows your heart, will cause all things to work together for good, and you will achieve victories and glorify God. If you see someone's sin, the person's sin does not cause you harm. But your heart may be stimulated by the person's sin. But in this case, you have to figure out what is in your heart and pray to cast it away by seeing other person's sin. So, until now, I talked about the sending someone, the evil people, away secretly. Second, when we see someone's sin, we need to cover his or her sin. Let's think about the meaning of covering a sin through the example of Genesis chapter 9. This is about three sons of Noah. One day, Noah drank of the wine and became drunk, and uncovered himself inside his tent. His second son, Ham, saw him. He should have covered his father's mistake, but Ham told his two brothers about it outside. After knowing it, what did Shem and Japheth do? I talked about the Bible, and Senior Pastor also talked about this. There are brothers. There are siblings. Senior Pastor talked about this. And when someone did like one of your siblings does the same as Ham, Senior Pastor told you to give advice to the person, to the brother. Not like, don't do that. Genesis chapter 9, verse 23 says, "But Shem and Japheth took a garment and laid it upon both their shoulders and walked backward and covered the nakedness of their father, and their faces were turned away so that they did not see their father's nakedness. Not only did they avoid seeing his father's nakedness, but they covered it." Shem and Japheth received God's blessing, but on the contrary, Ham received curse. Dear brothers and sisters, Proverbs chapter 17, verse 9 says, "He who conceals a transgression seeks love." If you love someone, you may not think of his shortcoming as a shortcoming. even if the shortcoming is evident. If you really love him or her, you may feel like it's your fault. It could be evident, and so you can see the sin. But you may feel like it's your fault. For example, if a wife really loves her husband, she never wants things to go wrong with him and never talks about his mistake or shortcoming. But the wife hates her husband, and she talks about his mistake. But she really loves him. She never talks about his mistake. Do you feel good when your friend talks about your sin or mistake? Father God does not like the lips that talk about other people's sin. It is true of the heart of parents for their children. Even if their child is in prison after committing a sin, they may not talk about it to others because they love him. They may enjoy nothing because they always think about their child who is suffering in prison. Or some parents may serve neighbors humbly on behalf of their child who committed sin. But these days, the worldly people talk about their family members' faults and sins. Even people file lawsuits against family members. We must not file a lawsuit against the brothers and sisters in faith. People are so quick to judge and condemn others when they see their shortcomings. The worldly people are different from us, the church. We have to follow the love of God. The Lord wants us to have love. And the love covers a multitude of sins. But many people point out the speck in someone else's eyes, though they have the log in their eyes. They do not know the love of the Lord whatsoever. Even if they say they know the love of the Lord, they do not seek the love in action. Actually, Jesus had no spot, no sin, no blemish, so he was qualified to condemn others. But how did he live on the earth? He did not point out sins or condemn others. He did not do so. He just forgave people and healed people of their diseases. And he led sinners to the way of salvation. Even the woman, think about the woman who was caught in adultery in the very act. The scribes and Pharisees condemned her, but Jesus did not condemn her. Instead, told her not to sin anymore. He did not point her out. His forgiveness led her to the way of salvation. What about us? Even after meeting the Lord, we made mistakes, we committed sins, so we repented again and again. How could we condemn others? We are not qualified to pass judgment or condemnation on others. It is only God who can pass judgment and condemnation. So, because we know the love of the Lord, we have to love our parents, brothers and sisters, and husbands and wives, and brothers and sisters in faith. Dear brothers and sisters, you may think, then, do I have to pretend not to see others' sin when I happen to see? Is that really true love? You may think like that. Of course, if you just let them keep going the way of death, it is not love. Thus, we must guide each of them in different ways, depending on the seriousness of sin and according to their measure of faith, such as advice of love or admonishment or strict reprimand. I'm not telling you not to give advice, but some people just talk about this to other people and condemn others or pass judgment on others. of course, it's good for you to pray and give advice to others after a lot of prayer. But you don't have to talk about this to others. Then the person will lose the opportunity to repent. It will make him lose heart. In fact, only those who have no log in their eyes can point out the speck in other people's eyes. But even if you may be not perfect, if you give advice or reprimand with love, it could be a great help to the people. It's because those who have spiritual love have those who have spiritual love can give the person true love. Of course, pastors and leaders sometimes may have to give advice, but they and we must not have any heart to condemn the person. We need to a heart of love, and we need to have a love to change them and lead them to the way of salvation. But if you have ill feeling or if you want to condemn the person, then the person will feel distressed and will avoid you. And moreover, if you have ill feeling and evil towards the person, then you cannot give the person advice and you cannot change the person. And you don't have to talk about this to other people. When, of course, the Bible talks about this, you can give advice to other people, but in some cases, they do not listen to you. Then you can talk about this to your boss or your superiors. But the purpose is to let them have the opportunity to receive salvation. It's the purpose. But if you slander and just talk ill of them, it's a sin. If you have such a thing in your heart, please repent. And we must not have or make any war of sin against God. This kind of thing disturbs your spiritual growth. This is the wall of sin. And this kind of wall of sin makes you feel distressed in spiritual growth. And it stops your spiritual growth. You have been working hard for the kingdom of God. And so you have to receive blessings from God. But is the answer slow? And have you not received answers from God? Then you have to repent of this. And you have to look back upon your lives and check if you have such a heart against other people. Of course, it's not the only way to lead them to the way of salvation, to point them out or give advice. So, senior pastor has covered, it's not the only way. So, sometimes we have to cover sins of others. So, senior pastor has given a lot of chances to people and to the members. We have to do so. James chapter 5 verses 19 and 20 says, "My brethren, if any among you strays from the truth and one turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins." The sinner who turns away from the truth, his sin must be very evident and clear. But if you lead them to the way of salvation, it is love. And it is great love. You may say, the person leaves the church. You cannot say that. Senior pastor does not talk about that. Senior pastor has not said this person had left this church. He had never said this because he wanted them to come back. Do you want the people who left the church to come back to church? Yes. We have to go to heaven with them, with the persons. And senior pastor also wants to embrace them. But do you condemn them? Or do you pass judgment on them? But what if they come back? So you have to broaden your heart from now. You have to embrace them. You know, Father God forgives you. Father God forgives them. And if Father God forgives them and senior pastor forgives them, we have no right to forgive them. It is the senior pastor's work, and it is God's work. It's not our job. We also have to go to New Jerusalem with senior pastor. Then we have to follow him. So we must not have anyone who we cannot forgive. So that's why I'm talking about this tonight. So in the blessed day that will come soon, we have to broad hearts to embrace all the people. That's why I'm talking about this tonight. We have to broaden our hearts. You must not say, oh, I don't like them. Oh, I don't like them because of this. No. You must not have any kind of heart to just send other people just away from your heart and condemn them. Sometimes we have to send secretly sinners away, or we have to give advice or give reprimand to others. But when someone, if someone commits a sin again and again, you have to give advice. What if Noah became drunk again and again? But it was one time mistake. And then the sons should have, the Ham should have covered his nakedness and his mistake. But if Noah had made such a mistake again and again, the sons should have given advice to the father, because the father's mistake and nakedness would be revealed later by others. So, depending on situations and depending on people, you have to discern. Is it hard? Do I have to report about this? Or do I have to talk about this to others? It's really hard. Is it hard? No. You have to pray. You can pray. When you pray, the Holy Spirit will give you answer. When you see someone's sin, please check yourself. Check your heart. If you have ill feeling, don't talk. Don't talk about this. Don't give advice if you have ill feeling. If you have ill feeling, it's not love. And it's just hatred. It's just pointing out. And then it gives the person a hard time. Only when you don't have ill feeling, the work of God will happen. And if you have ill feeling, you have to repent first of this. And you may have to repent. Like, Father, when I see the pastor's mistake, I have ill feeling. Father, please forgive me. And please forgive me. And let me have a broad heart. And you can pray for the pastor. You can keep praying for the pastor. Or You may have a heart, or the Holy Spirit may move your heart so that you can give advice. It's the work of the Holy Spirit. And then you can bring the work of the Holy Spirit to the person. Sometimes some evil people cannot accept the advice. And Senior Pastor told us that it is just better for us not to give advice if the person would not seem to accept your advice. So depending on situations and people, the ways are different. But the first thing that you have to check is existence of ill feeling in your heart. So you have to check ill feeling, whether you have ill feeling or not. And when you want to give advice to others, you have to pray again and again. Even between parents and children, between close friends, you have to pray. You have to pray before giving advice. You have to pray and thereby please God. And then God will work upon the person. When you pile up the prayer before God and give advice, then the advice will work because God will work upon the person. So if the person does not accept your advice, it may be your fault. It may be the lack of your prayer. So you have to give advice only by the Holy Spirit's works. So without love, even your children, you cannot change your children without love. Only the power of God can change your children. So you must achieve love that covers a multitude of sins first. Thirdly, we need to guide even those who committed sin to the truth. If you have the power of love, you can experience revival in your district or in your parishes. Jesus did so to his disciples. He guided them to the truth. Not only did he understand his disciples and all people's sins, but also embraced them and finally gave birth to life. He endured and embraced all the people and gave birth to life, which means changed them into the truth. How did Jesus cover Peter's sin? On the Easter Sunday, we heard about Peter. This message, the love covers a multitude of sins. It was delivered by Senior Pastor in 1999. It's the message in 1999 revival meeting. And Senior Pastor advised us to cover a multitude of sins of others. And Jesus showed this best example of love that covers a multitude of sins. The disciples made mistakes and shortcomings, but Jesus covered their sins. How did Jesus cover Peter's sin? On the previous night before the crucifixion, during the Last Supper, Jesus talked about what would happen to them. It was to help them believe Jesus is the Savior when he was captured and crucified as he had said. To let them know, Jesus foreknew that he would be crucified. He talked about this. And they could believe what Jesus had said. So that's why Jesus talked about this before the crucifixion. It's like he gave them a farewell message. John chapter 13, verse 36 says, Simon Peter said to him, Lord, where are you going? Jesus answered, Where I go, you cannot follow me now, but you will follow later. Then Luke chapter 22, verses 31 and 32 says, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has demanded permission to sift you like wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail, and you, when once you have turned again, strengthen your brothers. Then Peter said, in John chapter 13, verse 37, Peter said to him, Lord, why can I not follow you right now? I will lay down my life for you. Luke chapter 22, verse 33 also says, Peter said to him, Lord, with you I am ready to go both to prison and to death. Peter was sincere on his side, but Jesus looked at in his inner heart. So Jesus answered, in John chapter 13, verse 38, Will you lay down your life for me? Truly, truly, I say to you, a rooster will not crow until you deny me three times. As he said, Peter denied Jesus three times. At the time, Peter was sincere on his side, but he did not. He would change. You know, when we are full of the Holy Spirit, we feel like we can give everything to the Lord, but when you become peaceful, you became peaceful, you may have lost your fullness. But Father God knows everything. And Father God foreknew everything. But He still loved us, and He still loves us, and forgives us, and leads us. He has given us so much love like that. So we have to forgive others as well. The Peter's confession, Jesus said that he said he could not follow him. But after that, Peter was renewed. After denying Jesus three times, because he was reminded of the word that Jesus had said, and he denied Jesus three times. You listened to the message about this Peter's confession, and Jesus was people who questioned him. And Peter was outside. And people around Peter asked him if he is the person with Jesus. He was the disciple of Jesus. But he denied Jesus three times. And at the time, a rooster crowed, and Jesus turned his eyes to Peter. And Peter's eyes and Jesus' eyes met. And Peter was reminded of the word that Jesus had said to him. And he went out and wept bitterly. He must have lost heart. He must have hated himself, I guess. Even a few hours ago, he confessed and said, I would follow you. I will follow you. And I even follow you. And I'm ready to go both to prison and to death. Just a few hours ago. But Jesus saw and watched Peter with the eyes of love. I guess he must have hated himself. Have you repented? Have you repented like this? Why did I do this? You may have said this kind of sentence in your prayer. Why did I do this? When you repented, have you said this? We cannot hate anybody. Father God forgives me. And Jesus has forgiven me. If you repent this way, hatred will come out from you. and you can receive answers and healings. Dear brothers and sisters, what if Peter had just given everything up there? Then Peter could not have become a person who made thousands of people repent a day and brought down healing works for countless people. Isn't it a big mistake? Isn't it a big sin? He denied Jesus. He denied the teacher 3 times. But when he realized that he had denied Jesus 3 times, he was reminded of the words Jesus had said to him, including the word about the denier. Jesus also had forgiven him already. And because he told him to strengthen your brothers, Jesus had forgiven him already, even before he committed the sin. So he could stand up again. Jesus foreknew what he committed, the sin he would commit, and had forgiven already of the sin. Jesus said to him, "Where I go, you cannot follow me now, but you will follow later. When once you have turned again, strengthen your brothers." And when Peter said, "Jesus is the Christ and the Son of the living God," Jesus answered, "I also say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overpower it." Jesus prayed for Peter not to lose heart. Even though he knew Peter would deny him, he just gave advice without reprimand. So Peter may have wept and shed a lot of tears because of the love of the Lord. Even it's like Jesus revealed the inner heart of Peter. But the result? What is the result? If Jesus had not let him know he would deny him beforehand, Peter would have fallen in greater pain and may have committed more sins. Not only forgiving people of sins that they already committed, but also helping them not commit sins anymore. It is the love that covers sins. We may say to Senior Pastor will forgive us. Senior Pastor, forgive him. But you may feel like I'm feeling bad because the person is forgiven by Senior Pastor. But what about you? You may have experienced, you may also have committed sins, or you may have lost heart. In those cases, you may have been reminded of Senior Pastor's words to encourage you. Even when you committed sins leading to death, Senior Pastor must have told you to go to New Jerusalem together. You are reminded of those words and his lovely words. He always told you that you can do it. And we have been encouraged by his words. Is that only you who can receive such grace? Other people. Don't you like other people to receive such grace? You have been forgiven, but other people, you do not want other people to be forgiven? It's an evil heart. We must not have this kind of heart. We know the Senior Pastor will forgive. So, are you gonna condemn them? No. We don't have any right to condemn others. We have seen the Senior Pastor's goodness and love. And it's our turn to have such love. If you want to see senior pastor's love and goodness quickly, you have to fill your heart with love. Sometimes I think, I want to see senior pastor quickly. Sometimes I want to see senior pastor quickly, but I did not say this. But I just said, Father God, okay, I can do it. But it's better for him to come quickly. I really want to see him so much. But what Father God wants us to do is to follow senior pastor. You know, what if senior pastor were in this kind of situation? You have to think about this. You have to commit everything to the love of God and justice of God. Now, it's time for us to meet and be qualified to go to New Jerusalem. This incident of Jesus and Peter showed the best example of love that covers a multitude of sins. We have seen these kind of examples through senior pastor. The biblical examples have been shown through senior pastor. Senior pastor has forgiven people again and again. This kind of love of Jesus for Peter has been shown through senior pastor. We have seen this kind of love here so far. Jesus even prayed for Judas Iscariot, who would betray him, and taught him goodness. Judas often stole money from the money box of Jesus and the disciples. Jesus knew Judas was a thief and he would betray him, but he did not let other disciples know it. It was not until the previous night before the crucifixion that he let them know Judas would sell him indirectly. The disciples also had to know about that. So he indirectly showed this. But he did not let them know about Judas so that there would not be conflicts among them. In this way, Jesus led all the people to the truth all the time. I was reminded of senior pastor through this message. When I talked about some people with senior pastor always covers their sins. One day, I talked about someone's sin because the person is a leader and the sin was evident, but senior pastor did not want to talk about it. He did not condemn him. He did not hate him. He did not make the person evil. He did not want to talk about him. He always embraced him, and he still put his sin, or he remembered his sin so that he can lead them to the way of salvation and repentance. When we go to senior pastor, we may say, senior pastor, we can do it. We will do better. I will become a different person. And senior pastor, believe you and trust you. He always does like that. Jesus also helped Thomas have faith, rather rebuke his little faith. When the other disciples talked about the resurrection of Jesus to Thomas, Thomas didn't believe it. He said in John chapter 20, verse 27, "Reach here with your finger and see my hands, and reach here your hand." And Jesus said to Thomas, "Reach here with your finger and see my hands, and reach here your hand and put it into my side, and do not be unbelieving but believing." When Thomas talked to Jesus, how embarrassed he must have felt. But when he saw Jesus, he was excited and he was touched by the love of the Lord. And he became a different person, and he delivered the gospel to other people, and in the end, he martyred for the Lord. So he became a blessed person in the end. When Jesus saw the faults or mistakes of the disciples, if he pointed them out and just forsook them, had forsaken them, no one could have followed him, or no one could have become great apostles, could not have become great apostles. But Jesus believed them, Jesus trusted them, and led them to the way of salvation. We also have received a lot of love and grace from God. So we cannot condemn or pass judgment or condemnation on others. If you condemn or judge others, it means that you also will be condemned and judged because of your sins. Only when you forgive others, you can be forgiven by others. It is according to the Bible. So Jesus did not disclose any mistakes or sins of disciples, and covered their sins and changed them into the truth. Let me conclude this message. I've talked about the love that covers sins. It's not just about not disclosing other people's shortcomings or sins. It even includes bearing all things for long, patiently, and praying for and helping them to do better through prayer. Even if it is not beneficial to help them for you, even if it causes you loss, you can cover their sins in the love. Therefore, the love that covers a multitude of sins is a concise expression that includes, encompasses such profound attributes of love of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 7 says, "Bears all things, believes all things, love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things." Based on the patience that bears all things for others, we need to wait for them to become perfect. We need to endure things together with them. People with good hearts can do this. Even if people have shortcomings or sins, you can pray for them. You can pray for them with love and tears. We have to encourage them, and so that they can lead in righteous life. Sometimes it's like Jesus' love for Peter. When Peter made a mistake, Jesus wanted to encourage him. So when you see someone lose heart and commit sins and lose heart, you may want to encourage him so that he can go the way of truth and he can grow up spiritually through this opportunity. It's the love that covers a multitude of sins, and it's the love of God. Dear brothers and sisters, the power of love is unimaginably great. It can revive people who cannot but be forsaken or dead. This love can encourage people, and this love gives strength and love to other people. We ourselves were nothing, and we were sinners. But the Lord came to us first and gave His hands to us. So we now become blessed people. The works of God happens in the place where this spiritual love is. The work of God takes place in goodness. It happens in love, truth, and justice as well. In strifes and conflicts, the work of God can never happen, nor does the grace of God. Only the work of Satan happens. You may say, I have been working hard for the kingdom of God, but I have never received the grace of God. But if you have this kind of problem, if you feel distressed, when you are in truth and goodness, you can be peaceful. Even when you are in the valley of death, when you are full of the love of God and the grace of God, you are happy. But if you lose heart and if you feel distressed, it means that you are out of the love of God. You are out of the grace of God. If you don't experience the work of God in the place where you are, you have to check whether you are outside of the love of God. And you have to check whether your heart are full of goodness or not. Wherever hatred, jealousy, and any evil are, the work of Satan will happen. The work of Satan will take place. We have to remember this. Therefore, when you see someone sin, I urge you to send him away secretly first. It means that you must not have any ill feeling against them, and you must not be influenced by him. And then, please cover his sin. Don't talk about this. Don't spread it to others. Moreover, I hope you will pray for them to be transformed in the truth and give wise and good advice at appropriate point. By doing so, I hope you will have peace and happiness in the love of the Lord everywhere you go. And I hope that we will achieve the love that covers a multitude of sins and hear God saying, "You resemble me." I pray in the name of the Lord that you will thoroughly repent based on tonight's message and receive God's blessing and answers.
Hallelujah! Almighty Father God of love, please lay your hands on all brothers and sisters receiving this prayer here in attendance. Lay your hands on all the members of the branch churches and local centers, and all the GCN TV viewers, and those who are watching via satellites, cables, and the internet all over the world, transcending space and time. Plant faith in their hearts and drive out their negative thoughts and doubts. Let all the trials and afflictions leave them. by the fire of the Holy Spirit, from head to toe, scorch their sick and affected parts, including all cells, tissues and nerves, all internal organs and intestines. Let the light of creation come upon them. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, all diseases, germs and viruses, and infirmities, go away. Let the light shine on them. Scorch their incurable and long-term diseases by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Burn all kinds of endemic and contagious diseases like malaria. Be cleansed and made well. All epidemic diseases, such as colds and fever, go away from them. Protect them from any kinds of germs and viruses and bacteria. Heal them of all kinds of cancers, like stomach cancer, lung cancer, liver cancer, breast cancer, womb cancer, intestinal cancer, and all other diseases like AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high blood pressure, low blood pressure, heart disease, lung disease, diabetes, women's diseases, thyroid diseases, and all inflammations. Let them be made whole from polio, stroke, arthritis, herniated discs, and many others. Let all kinds of pains disappear from them, like back pain, headache, and neuralgia. Set them free from epilepsy, autism, depression, neurosis, and all other mental diseases. Loosen them from all kinds of paralysis, and let them get up, walk, and jump. Let them regain good eyesight and restore good hearing. Let the blind open their eyes and the deaf come to hear and mute begin to speak. Heal them of after effects of all kinds of accidents. Restore their ruptured and broken bones. Restore them from burns and let the heat and burning sensation go away from them. Father, let there be no scars left. Be cleansed from all kinds of drug addictions and poisoning. Father, regenerate dead nerves, tissues and cells, and bring the dead back to life. Father, please bless them to conceive a baby. Bless them to conceive a baby. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, the ruler of the air, the evil forces and their servants, go away from them. Go away, you evil spirits, unclean spirits, deceiving spirits, spirits of falsehood, separating spirits and all forces of darkness. Loosen all bonds of wickedness and darkness and go away from them. Let the light shine on them. Father God, give them strength to cry out in their prayer and empower them with the power to cast off sins and become sanctified. Let them be in good health as their soul becomes prosperous and let their family be evangelized. Protect them from all kinds of accidents and disasters and bless them to lead a successful and prosperous life in everything. Please protect your children, their home, their business, and their work by the fiery hedge of the Holy Spirit, with the heavenly host and angels, and with your blazing eyes. Give students wisdom and understanding, and fill their hearts with more passion and desire for study. Keep their hearts and minds from worldly things, and plant into their hearts more fervent love for God. Bless your children and let them give glory to you in everything they do, whether they eat or drink or whatever they do. Let them confess and testify to the living God, I've met God, I've experienced God, and received His answers and blessings. Father God, thank you. Let all glory be to you alone. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.